Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and what are you looking at, bud?
That's when the spaceship blew up.
I told him I don't like it. It's disturbing.
Well, what is that?
That's they're showing about when they went to the moon and everything that blowed up.
When they went to the moon, everything that blowed up, huh? So this, in other words, is...
Phil, that is the Challenger, for God's sake. Why are we being forced to look at that?
No, that's not the Challenger.
Yeah, I think I know what I'm looking at when I see the Challenger blowing up.
Then why would they have John Glenn sitting there smiling and laughing?
I don't know, because, well, he's a Democrat, isn't he?
Oh, he's a Democrat, so it must be okay.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. You're saying John Glenn. Who's John Glenn?
John Glenn's an astronaut, man. He was an astronaut. He orbited the Earth.
What do you mean, orbited?
Orbited. O-R-B-I-T-E-D.
You didn't say that. You said warbited.
No, it sounded like warbited, Phil.
Oh, okay. It sounded like warbited. All right, I'm sorry, guys. It's orbited, not warbited. If I'd said orbited, do you know what that means?
No.
Okay, so it wouldn't have mattered. I could have said warbited. I could have said orbited. I could have said borbited.
What about that Norbit? Yeah, well, if you said norbited, I would have understood, because that's an Eddie Murphy movie. But you didn't say that.
What are you crying for? Look at this guy.
You have spoiled these guys rotten with your... explaining everything to these two imbeciles whose heads are... they're much like the ping pong ball. There is a firmness and a resilience, and yet the emptiness is so cold and lonely, you know?
Okay, Margaret, that's great.
What is it with you? Every time I say something, you lunge back in your seat, grab a piece of paper, and go, okay, Margaret. What is that?
Because I want to cut you off and I want to just move. All right, I want to move and I want to groove and I want to get into the hour and I don't want a whole lot of blah, 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 because we're starting to do that. All right? So I had to explain to these guys what orbit means. It ain't Norbit and it ain't Warbit. I had to tell them who John Glenn was. And I also had to explain to you that that wasn't the Challenger blowing up. Just so I could get into this hour, just so I could begin to get Harvey on the line.
Oh, I didn't. Is Harvey way? Is he holding on?
Yes, we've got Harvey hanging on.
All right, Phil, but you know something? I just want to say one thing. Yeah, what you just said there, basically this, I had to explain to everyone how I'm right and they're wrong.
Yeah, that's what you did do.
You know? Oh, okay, Margaret. Well, you know, every hour I've got to explain how I'm right and everyone's wrong.
Well, in this instance, I was right.
What's that chimpanzee doing?
That's what they put up in outer space before they put anybody in outer space.
They put a monkey in there?
Yeah, they put a monkey in there.
That's what they did, and I don't approve of it, but apparently they felt that the animal, the chimpanzee, would be better at course correction. I don't know what that was about.
Wait. No.
Yes. The monkey that they put into space, they felt would be better at firing course-correcting jets than a human. And
how could a monkey be better at that than a human being?
Because if you think about it, Phil, a monkey is a dumb animal that will take direction. It will take direction. You tell a monkey to do something, it does it. You tell a human being to do something, and there's 500 different ways the human being will do it.
Well, human beings can also take direction. Human beings may freelance, but when you tell them this is how I want it done, they'll do it.
Really? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. You're talking about men that were in the military. You're talking about Navy pilots, Marine pilots. They're saying, okay, you do this. You don't do that, you don't fly again.
Big wow.
Yeah, but why is that going to be anything, a big deal?
These guys live to fly in the space mission. That was their whole point. Didn't you read the right stuff?
Yeah, I read part of it, and then I believe I threw it into our swimming pool. It was so deadly dull. So yes, I read part of it until I threw it into our pool.
Oh, well, that was... okay, great. Well, if you'd continued reading it, Margaret, even though it was deadly dull, you would have found out that the right stuff is what they called what a guy had when he was a great pilot. And they wanted to test the right stuff. They wanted to know if they had the right stuff. And the only way they knew is if they continued to test themselves against the most sophisticated and advanced vehicles that flew. And for test pilots, for guys that flew for a living, the furthest edge of experimental aircraft, the furthest edge that a pilot could take himself was into the space program. They wanted to be on board that rocket as it was taking off. That was the next step. And they made a whole big thing, or Tom Wolfe made a whole big thing in the book about how Chuck Yeager and those guys up at Muroc Air Base felt very, they felt suddenly left out. They felt like they'd blown it. They felt like they'd made a big mistake when they mocked the space program and said those guys were all a bunch of, you know, they were no better than chimpanzees. So,
well, I mean, in a way, they were right, because they were no better than a monkey. A monkey was far superior than Alan Shepard, far superior than Gus Grissom, far superior than John Glenn. And Phil, if you read the part of the right stuff that I did read, was when Gus Grissom fired the bolts early.
Which has never been proved. That poor man, you know, Gus Grissom lost his life on the launch pad, okay?
Phil, I'm not going to disrespect him. What I'm trying to say to you is this. All right, so the theory is he fired the bolts early. An ape would have had the patience and the good sense to wait for the green light.
Yeah, you know what, folks? As she said that, she's got a straight face.
Yeah, but what's wrong with it?
An ape would have had the patience and the good sense.
What I'm saying, if you listen to me...
Margaret.
Are you listening to me, please?
Yes.
If you put a monkey, an ape, a baboon, anything, an old world Remus, I don't care what you put in there.
What about ringtail?
A ringtail, whatever. And you tell it, now, you blow those bolts when I tell you to blow those bolts, because I'll tell you something right now, ape. It's a cold world out there, and it's a one-way ticket back to the jungle. It's a cold world, blood.
Yeah.
It's a cold world, blood. So, making a racial reference, huh?
I beg your pardon.
Is that what you did?
Yes. Yes, she did.
I did not. Excuse me,
Robert, don't...
That pisses me off to say that.
I did not make a racial reference. I said it's a cold world blood, as in homeboy. Well, I guess that's worse.
Yeah, that is worse. You want to go to the bathroom?
I need to change my tampon, yeah.
Oh, that's just fantastic. Thank you for that.
Well, you deserve it.
She right about a monkey?
No, she's not right about the monkeys. What, are you kidding me or something? Oh, yeah, we'd much rather have an ape in there because he takes direction better. Plus, he'll know when to blow the bolts on that. What happened to Gus Grissom, for you folks that are listening? Gus Grissom, God rest his soul, when he was one of the original Mercury pilots, this is before he and those poor men, the other two astronauts, lost their lives on the launch pad in January of 67. This was part, they were part of Apollo 1. That was the moon phase. He was in Mercury. He landed in the water. Everything was going great. And it has been theorized and sort of immortalized, if you will, in the film that Gus Grissom somehow panicked and blew the explosive bolts on his hatch early, thus allowing seawater to get into the vehicle, and they lost the space capsule. They were able to save Gus Grissom's life, but in the world of science, astronauts, and the very He-Man world of test pilots, it's almost preferable that you drown and you save the vehicle because that had all of the data. You know, of course they saved his life, and I don't think it's ever been verified, you know.
But I'm saying he's some kind of chicken?
They were basically saying he was a chicken. Yeah, he panicked. He couldn't wait for the guys to give him the heads up. Gus Grissom, for his part, said, no, I did not blow any explosive bolts. They blew on their own. I didn't do anything. I can well imagine them doing that.
Yeah, what do you mean explosive bolt?
This was before somebody had the bright idea, which was basically this. Hey, why don't we make a hatch that you can just release from the inside? You know, why do we have to have explosive bolts? Or on the very, very early versions of the Mercury vehicle, you had to unscrew bolts you had to literally take a screwdriver or a torque wrench to get the damn door off. I mean, that's how secure it was. So, you know, I frankly believe Gus Grissom's story that the bolts blew prematurely. I guess it made for a better story that he panicked. It also was a little bit of a stain on his record for a while, but it didn't blow him out of the astronaut corps. He remained in the astronaut corps and eventually, you know, was promoted to the Apollo program, but it was there that...
What do you mean lost his life?
There was a fire.
Oh.
There was a fire in the Apollo vehicle on the launch pad. It was simply a test. They were testing the systems. They were not doing anything other than a dry run. And the wiring, some wiring caught fire. apparently the oxygen in the capsule itself just went away. Or no, it was an oxygen rich environment, so there was just a flash fire that killed these poor guys. And there you go.
Well, that was a very uplifting story, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, thanks for the smile.
Well, you guys asked me, didn't you? All right, we'll be right back. Is Margaret coming back?
Miss Gray, did you get your tampon? Would you shut up, please?
But don't ask her that. We'll be right back. Harvey Wireman coming up to talk with us a little bit more about the world of the, you know, what's happening in France with the Islamic protests, and maybe we'll get a little information from him as well on some other news. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret.
Yeah, but I think I want to know what you're doing. The audience wants to know.
I'm writing a tweet, if you want to know. I'm writing a tweet.
You're writing a tweet? Why? It looks like you're writing a book.
I'm trying to write a funny tweet, okay? Because Dan just told me about the Space Shuttle Endeavor, folks. For those of you who are looking at Phil TV and HD, forgive me, I was I just flashed a momentarily there a picture of the homepage of our website, philhenryshow.com. We encourage you to get a backstage pass and join us online and download over close to 5,000 hours of material of our radio show. 5,000 hours, over 10 years worth of material, as well as video casts, as well as interviews, as well as other webcasts that we've done, as well as our news feed. It's quite a treasure trove of new media, digital media, electronic and broadcast media for you. At philhenryshow.com. Now, what was your question?
My question, and I think by the way, Phil, I've got the lyrics to the Le Morceau, and I would like to sing it before the night is out. Oh my, what is with the...
Yeah, Murray, that wasn't respectful. You were not being respectful, Phil.
What is it all of a sudden when you two guys are big fans of hers? What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, you've lost your little rooting section. Is that it?
No, well, we still care about Phil, but why here do you do the Marseille?
Thank you very much, bud. I want to do Le Marseille, and I was led to believe by David J. Hall that I'd be able to do those things without interference from you, if you don't mind.
Yes, I do mind. Everything you do on the airwaves here will be cleared through me.
Of course, Phil. I just simply said that was my... That would be my druther, as they say.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do. Now, I'm writing a tweet.
Well, what is it?
God, you know, you really...
What is the tweet, for God's sake, or I call up David Hall?
Well, now I'm not going to tell you, okay?
You gotta call, because I'm going to call Mr. Hall.
What is it with you guys? All of a sudden, you're going to call Mr. Hall? She's calling the shots around here. What is your tweet? Can't you wait at least until I write it and then get it on the site? Is that okay?
No, I want to know what you're writing in your tweet now.
I'm saying the space shuttle is... I was going to tell you, Margaret, really calmly and not yell, but you're all just, you know...
I'm all what?
You're all like, what are you doing? And, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that was articulate. God, you know, you sounded like the Hunchback of Notre Dame there. You went...
Yeah, you did, sort of.
You did. You sounded as if you had an ill-formed palate. Did you hear that, Phil? Did you hear yourself do that?
No, I did not, Margaret. Why don't you tell the audience how I sounded like I had a speech impediment, maybe from a cleft palate?
I did not say a cleft palate. I did not say that. All right? If you look at the renderings of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, he didn't have a cleft palate. What he did have was a misshapen nose, which I would think would affect the sinuses. God.
You're the only woman I know that can say completely off-the-wall, weird, and inappropriate stuff, and I feel guilty.
Well, maybe you have a reason to feel guilty.
Anyway, my tweet. The space shuttle is landing at LAX Friday, and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street route.
Wait, what was the Dan Northcraft reference?
Dan told me this. He gave me this information.
Do you have to yell?
Yes, I do. When you keep butting in, yes, I do.
Take it easy, Phil. You're going to stroke out, man.
Yeah, you got to take it easy, Phil. You're going to have a heart attack, man. Your health.
What are you... you know, you guys are really cracking me up. You guys treat me like I'm Grandpa Henry, man. I could beat both of your asses. You know that, right? You know that.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying, man.
No. Don't give me this, your health. If I wanted to right now, I could kick both your asses. Now, that's how I feel.
Pretty sure, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And you guys treat me like old man Henry, huh?
Just want to make sure, man. You know, not have oxygen.
Yeah, because remember when you needed oxygen?
You mean when I had pneumonia?
They're just looking out for you, Phil. That's all.
Okay, you know what? That's fine, but I don't like this whole your health, Phil. Space shuttle is landing at LAX Friday, and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street.
You need some glasses?
No, I don't need any glasses. To the Science Museum and Expo Park. And then, this was my funny line, by an invisible man.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's because you guys were butting in and blah, 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 and you didn't let me get it out and time it out because it was really a funny line. I'll say it again. The space shuttle is landing at LAX Friday and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street route to the, what, bud?
Can you hold on for a minute?
What do you want me to hold on to, man?
No, just hold on for a second. Okay, go.
What, do you want me to start it all over again?
Yeah.
The space shuttle is landing at LAX on Friday, and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street out to the Science Museum and Expo Park by an invisible man. Yeah, very funny.
Perfect, bud. Good timing.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah? That's really interesting. That's very funny.
All right, fine. You got your crate. Can you hold on for a minute? Okay, go.
Yeah, well, you got to make sure that her cricket.
Oh, is that what you had to do, man? Well, thank you very much.
Well, I still don't get it. And the point that I'm making is simply this. You lord it over people. Well, never mind.
Yeah. You know, Margaret, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell this to David Hall. You have been a huge impediment to this show for two nights running.
Here we go.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do this.
Oh, you know, no, I haven't even gotten warmed up. Every time I try to start something, you're butting in with some idea. Every time that you want to do something, we have to push through to the bitter end with the bit, even if it's a disaster, because we just simply must do it, or poor Margaret is being treated terribly because she's a woman. You know, you play that sex card like I've never seen anybody play it. You play the a poor me card, and...
Don't you know that girl? Is that Christine Blackburn?
Who?
Right there, it's Christine Blackburn.
Are you listening to what I'm saying, man? Are you pointing out people on TV?
Phil, we've been down this road before. We don't need to go down it again, do we?
Yes, we do. What I was saying is that when you guys are talking about...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to kick somebody's ass. 877-876-7444. World famous Phil Henry show, and so remember, folks, that the space, and I think that's going to be fascinating because the kids can go out and see the space shuttle. They can go out and watch as it drives down the street, and you know, and the people.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about this.
The space shuttle will be. Is that...
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, God, man, this is amazing. Hey, David, how you doing?
What's going on? Because I heard, Margaret, she had hit the red phone, and, of course, I had to find my way over to a cell area where I could get some service, but she hit the red phone. And
David, I'm sorry to bother you.
Whoa, wait just a second.
I'm sorry to bother you, David.
What?
What is the red phone?
It's a phone...
You want me to tell him?
No, I'll do it. It's a phone that I gave to Margaret in case she needs to call me because you are doing things on the air that she doesn't think will make her look good. In other words, if you're doing a bad show, she gets to hit the red phone and, if need be, bail out. And
so she gets to hit the red phone and, if need be, bail out, meaning she can leave the studio?
Yes.
And did she just hit the red phone now?
Can I speak for myself? I don't like being talked about as if I'm not here.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I don't want you to get me into a sexual harassment lawsuit. I apologize.
Well, just watch your step. What is that?
It's music. We're going to a break.
You're a fascist, sexist bastard. You know that? Both of you.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I had no idea.
We're going to a break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret, I swear to God, I had no idea. I never, ever would have called up, and I never would have put you in the middle of this.
You lie, Hall. You lie.
Like a dog.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Margaret Gray joining us in studio now as one of our contributors, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. On the line from San Marino, California, joining us at the moment will be Harvey Wireman, an attorney at law, a man who's now retired from the, you know, the arduous work that he has done at the bar. And it's always a joke to be made there, Harvey, I'm sure.
At the bar, they always make a joke about it.
Well, Harvey, you have you also served your country as a Marine in the Second World War, for which we will forever be indebted.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
And you also came through the ranks with F. Lee Bailey, is that right?
Well, we were both put through law school by the Marines, you know, and Lee Bailey. Lee Bailey was, and then I got the bright idea that I want to be a lawyer as long as the Marine Corps was dishing out all these goodies, you know, send you to school.
We should tell people you have a chronic throat problem, right?
Yeah, it's not what do you call it? My granddaughter, she calls it snot cancer. Isn't that right, honey? Yeah, she's a beauty. This is my little granddaughter. What's your name, honey? What is it? Nunuibi? Yeah, what is her? I forgot my granddaughter's name, for Jesus Almighty. What's her? Hey, ask Terry what the kid's name is. No, I'm not kidding you. I don't know what the kid's name is. Bonnie, I knew her name was Bonnie, honey, come here. Grandpa wants you to be on the radio. Do you want to be on the radio tonight? Do you want to be on the radio tonight? All right, she doesn't want to be on the radio, so.
Well, it's a little late, isn't it?
What? It's a little late for what?
How old is she?
She's about 3.
Oh, my. Harvey, this is Margaret. Why is she still awake?
What was that?
It's Margaret, Harvey. Why is that child still up?
She's still up because that's what we do at our house. She's a little girl. She's up. She's visiting with her grandfather. What is it with you? You know, you guys got to get off this whole kick. Everybody is sticking their nose into someone's business, morning, noon, and night, especially when it comes to kids. Yeah. You know, and...
Well...
I...
Harvey, I'm sorry. Look, I'm a mother, and my only reason for asking is I know the children need sleep. You know?
Yeah, I know you're a mother, Margaret. With all due respect, you're always telling everybody that you're a mother. Hey! You know?
Well, at least I'm not on the phone every night with Phil going, hey, and making these sounds that sound as if you have autism. You know?
What are you talking about? I have a phlegm problem.
You sound as if you have autism. You sound like one of those poor children in church. Bud, you were doing it the other day.
Yeah, yo, them, they'll go gay! Yay!
What is he talking about?
He's talking about... Why did you... Never mind, Harvey. Just forget what they're saying.
Oh, forget what I am saying to you, Harvey, that you sound as if you are one of these poor, unfortunate children that are in church, and while the minister is giving the sermon, you hear them in the back going, eh-ho! You know what you know what I mean, Robert?
Yeah, you'll hear them a lot of times going, ahoy! Ahoy there!
What do you mean, ahoy there? You're telling me an autistic kid says that? That's about the most... You want to talk glory? Now we're going down Gloyd Boulevard. Yeah, we're talking about... Yeah.
All right, this is a very unbecoming conversation and an offensive one, and I want it to cease right now. Number two, the way you clear your throat, Harvey, whether you're involved in some exhibitionism...
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, it is a very exaggerated thing you're doing there, and I'm wondering if you're doing it for effect.
Are you kidding me? Are you honestly asking me, Harvey Weierman, a guy that has... I spent... most of my days in a courtroom having to look at some judge that looked about as bright as a mailbox and then look at a pool of jurors that weren't much smarter than him. They all looked like, you get seven jurors, but to me, they were seven lumps of you-know-what. Okay? And then you got a court reporter. She looks like she's dead from the neck up. You got bailiffs who have dead eyes. I lived and breathed and worked in courtrooms my entire life. Hey, Mr. Henry, I lived in courtrooms my entire life having to hold my tongue, having to put on my, what do you want to call it?
Well, having to pretend you were somebody you weren't.
No, not having to pretend I was, no, you didn't get it right. No, you blew it. No, having to hold my tongue and... And watch my, what's the letters in the alphabet?
You gotta cross your T.
No.
Yes, cross your T and dot your I's.
Right.
No, it's I had to watch my,
You had to watch your butt.
No, it's the letters in the alphabet.
Your ABCs, isn't he?
No, I know what it is. Your P's and Q's.
Thank you. P's and Q's.
I've never heard that saying before.
You've never heard, you go watch your P's and Q's. You've never heard that.
She's lying. She's lying like she always lies. You know you've heard that. And
excuse me, I'm lying like I always... I've never heard that saying.
Well, it's very common, Margaret. Very common. I'm surprised that you haven't. So, Harvey, you spent all that time in courtrooms having to watch yourself, and you don't want to have to watch yourself now.
Exactly. So if I got to clear my throat like I have to now, should I get permission here from Her Royal Eminence, or can I go ahead and clear my throat?
Don't be a child, Harvey.
All right, I want you. Yay, hey! There. Was that good enough for you? Because that's what I had to do. I didn't put it on. It's not an exhibitionism, and none of that. Now... The reason why I'm particularly angry at you butting into my personal life is because we've got too many adults in this country, and it's a case that I took pro bono.
Wait, per bono? Yeah, per bono.
No, you know I didn't say that. You two asses wanted to get in a cutie. You know?
Yeah, they did, Phil. I'm very offended by that, and they wanted to get their cutie in.
All right, watch it, you guys, okay?
Well, man, you're always taking her side.
You guys did that on purpose.
Per boner. It's pro bono. And I took this case because it was the case of a man, an elderly man, who had been driving. You sure it's driving?
Yes, I'm sure.
He'd been driving. He had a Ford Fairlane, a 1962 Ford Fairlane. And let me tell you something, brother. That's a beautiful thing when that rolls down the street. There's a lot of horsepower. It's got a lot of metal skirting. You know, the big fins, right? You know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, the Ford Fairlane, yeah, it had the big round taillights.
Right. And he's driving down the street, and some punk kid gets in the way with a skateboard or a what do you call those things, the razors, the little scooter thing. The punk kid gets in the way. The fin on the back of the Fairlane hooks the kid's T-shirt, and this guy drags the kid. Please, understand, I don't think there's anything funny about it.
Oh, my God.
Now, hold on, Margaret. But the old man, it was... his business, what had happened to his car. The kid, it was about a 75 to 80 yard drag mark, is what the police, I think, finally put it at. Now...
How was the kid?
The old man was fine.
No, the kid! How was he?
He was banged up. He was pretty banged up, but he was all bawling and crying and asking for his mom. But kids are going to do that to try to get the sympathy of what you done did, you know. And my point that I'm trying to make is, there's an old lady there, and I got a statement from her. I deposed her, and I basically said to her, "Boy, you really love getting your kicks this way, don't you?" And she's saying to me, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" And I said, "Let me tell you something, Mrs. Van Wagen. I think her name was Vagina." And
vagina?
No, I'm gonna hang the phone up.
But why don't you just be quiet, okay?
That's what he said.
I did not say that.
How do you spell it?
V-A-G-I-N-A, but it is Vagina. Mrs. Vagina.
V-A...
I know how to spell it.
All right.
So I said to her, "You really love getting your kicks sticking your nose into another man's business." And she's, "What do you mean?" And I said, "This guy's Fairlane, and you know the kind of skirting those cars have. It hooked the kid's T-shirt, and they took the kid for a ride. And what do? You're standing on a street corner, and you're making note of the license, and you come walking over and going, butting in."
I think that's a perfect time for someone to butt in. Are you crazy?
Yeah, I think so, too. You know.
Well, I don't. As an attorney representing this man, I told her, "I can see right through you, lady. I look right through you as if you're the invisible man, except you've got breasts." That's what I said. And she was, "Don't you have a wonderful turn of phrase?" And I said, "Well, that's why they pay me the big dollars." So I said to her, I said, "Well, Mrs. Vagina, you stuck your nose into this guy's private affair."
Hold on, I got to ask you a question.
What?
How is this his private affair? He hits the kid.
Wait, whoa, there, sunshine. Hold on. Did he? Did he hit the kid?
Well, I mean, did you tell me?
Well, I didn't tell you anything. I didn't tell you anything, but you got to go blah, 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 blah. See, that's what you do, Phil. You and Ms. Gray and everybody over there at your little radio studio, before I can get the story out, you guys start in with the blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Give me... Honey, Bonnie, get Grandpa some water. I said to get Grandpa water. Get Grandpa water or I'll kick you down the hall. God, how I'd love to do that, too.
Boy, you are. You know what, man? Maybe we ought to let you go.
Why? What is up with you people? Boy, what up? You know something, Henry? You've gotten real soft. You really have. Go get Grandpa water. I'm gonna do to you what we saw that man do with the football on TV. I'm gonna do to you what we saw the man, what the football did to the nut, did the football did to the man.
You mean with the football, the man do to the football?
Yeah, what the man did to the football. Thank you, Robert. What the man did to the football.
No.
Don't say no to Grandpa because it's starting to wear on my nerves.
No.
Don't say no anymore, Bonnie.
Look at you're getting sidetracked.
I got it. Okay, Phil, just back off. I got this. I'm on this, okay?
Uh-uh.
I said, get out of here, Bonnie. Get out of here, Bonnie. Get your daughter out of here, please. I know she's my granddaughter. Get her out of here before I boot her ass through that window.
What got up your ass?
Wouldn't you like to know? All right, there. You guys happy? Now I just threatened to kick my own granddaughter through a plate glass window at midnight. In my neighborhood in San Marino, a little girl in a little summer dress will be seen sailing through a window and almost, the trajectory still going up as she crosses the street. And the trajectory only comes down.
Okay, I get it, man. So this guy that hit the kid, he didn't hit the kid?
No, the kid came out into the street. And my client, Bob Fordova is his name. Yeah, Bob Fordova, he's a neighbor of mine, and I said to Bob, he said, "I didn't see this kid." He said, "I only knew there was a kid hooked to the rear wheel well when I could hear the electric motor on the razor going like the wheel was spinning and it wasn't hitting cement." He said, "It was then and only then that I pulled the car over, got out, and I see kid, shirt, sneaker, and razor all tumbled together." And that's when I said to the kid, "Are you okay?" And I heard, you know, I heard something come out of the kid. Okay, so he's fine. Meanwhile, this bag, this Mrs. Vagina, comes over. Are you laughing?
Yes, I am.
And you're laughing at her name?
Yes, I am.
I'm really surprised at you, Phil.
Oh, get out of here, Harvey. I'm not going to laugh at a name like that.
I love it, too.
Well, I expect you to laugh, bud, because you're one step up from an imbecile. But Mr. Henry...
Wait, what? Yeah, be more nice about it.
Yeah, okay, I'll be more nice about it. But you laughing...
Oh, well, you got to be kidding me. V-A-G-I-N-A, Mrs. Vagina.
Yes! Would you be happier if it was pronounced the other way?
Go ahead.
So I said to her, so you come over and you stick your busybody nose in. Now, I said to the judge who was presiding at the... I said, look, Judge, we can save a lot of time and trouble. This doesn't even... You shouldn't even have to... This is garbage from beginning to end. My client is driving down the street. Some kid darts out in front of him. He gets his T-shirt hooked in the rear wheel well. The kid goes bouncing down the avenue on a sunny day. When my client gets out of the car, he sees a skid mark, still can't find kid. And I said to the judge, I said, there's a skid mark, and there's a ball of kid sneaker and razor. And
what does that mean, a ball of kid sneaker and razor?
Well, you can imagine after you get done dragging a kid 50 yards, it's going to be all, you can't tell which legs is with which, and which, you know.
We have to take a break, okay?
Sure, I was hoping that you would, because I'm getting real tired.
877-877-867-445. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you, Dan.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It was a little striped T-shirt. That's the...
About as whack a story. You know, and I can never get these stories all out at once. So, Harvey, what you're telling me here is that this guy, your client, dragged some kid 50 yards, and the lady that got his license number, you consider to be a busybody.
Well, let me explain this to you, all right? Because, you know, we live in a society now where everybody feels like they have the right to walk up to you and say, "Is that your kid?" "Yeah, well, you know, I don't like the color of the bonnet that it wears, you know."
No, people don't think that.
Yes, they do. I encounter them all the time, you know.
I don't think people feel empowered to butt in when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, okay, Phil, you don't think. Now, because you're the talk show host, I've got to just back off and go, "Oh, yes, oh, you know, like, what are they doing over there in China, or what is it? No, not in China, in France. They're like, oh, Allah, right? Is that what you got? Is that what I got to do here?"
No, I'm just giving you, I think, an informed opinion. I mean, if, you know, counter it if you must, but I think that...
Oh, counter it if I must. Yes, sir. Jeez, I didn't know we were in a debating, the debating society.
No, we're not in a debating society. We would be in a debating society with a guy who's going, ha-ha, every 3 seconds.
Go ahead. Make fun of an old man who can barely breathe, okay? You having fun? You're making fun of an old man that can barely get oxygen into his blood. Huh? How's it feel? Kicks?
Harvey, I know you too well, man, okay?
Oh, okay. Okay, man.
And I'm telling you that I don't think it's that bad. Now, if you want to give me an example...
I'll give you an example. I gave you the example of Fendercock. That's the name of my friend, okay?
I thought you said his name was Fendra or something.
No, I just looked at the file. It's a much bigger... I didn't know. It's a long name. So
his name's Fender... whatever, and the woman is Mrs. Vagina.
Oh, so you're afraid to say the guy's name. Because you're afraid of what, the FCC or some busybody jackasses that are listening to you right now? Let me just say to the people that are listening to Mr. Henry right now, who may be offended by Mr. Vagina, not Mr., but I guess it would be Mr. Vagina's wife, Mrs. Vagina, you can all take a flying jump off a short pier. How's that feel? There, I said that for you, Phil, because you haven't got a pair on you big enough to say it yourself. And
all right, that's great, Harvey. Thank you very much for the insult.
Well, you know sometimes, you know, the truth hurts. And I'm telling you that out there in the world, and I'm speaking as an attorney, okay? I'm speaking as an attorney, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What's with the yeah, uh-huh?
Well, you're speaking as a attorney.
What an ass. Really, I mean, God, I got to ask you a question, Phil. Do you have a postgraduate degree from ass school, or did you just take the undergraduate work?
Real funny.
I thought it was pretty good. So, the point that I'm making...
Yes, Professor.
Goodbye.
I'm kidding, Harvey. Come on.
Oh, goodbye.
Harvey, this is Margaret. I want to hear the story.
I don't give a sweet Jesus. Goodbye.
Come on, Mr. Wyman. We really do.
I don't give a damn. Goodbye. Why should I hang it up?
Well, Ms. Marmon, don't hang up.
I'm hanging up. I can't hang up. What do you want?
Well, now we're out of time.
Oh, great. So I'm stuck here in telephone purgatory. I can't hang it up. I can't go on the air. I got to sit here with this shoved in my mouth. I usually am the guy doing the shoving.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
You like that one?
Phil Henry.